Yo, what's good, East Brand the building? Today we have a special guest. She is born, raised in Wichita, Kansas, Heights alumni, graduated with her master's at Wichita State University. She used to play ball in college, and she's currently a professor now at Wichita State.
I am. Mary Sims.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
This is exciting. Yes, thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah.
On the very first one, you know?
Yeah, very first episode.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming. You've been bugging me, too. Like, Everybody needs a friend like you. Like, okay, when are we doing it?
I mean, listen.
When are we going?
You gave me this vision, what, a couple months ago?
Yeah.
It was Christmas or maybe even Thanksgiving last year.
It's been a while.
So you gave me that, and I've been on your ass about it.
Yeah, you have. You definitely have.
I've been on your ass about it.
I really appreciate that, too, though. Like I said, everybody needs a friend like you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so how you been, man?
I'm good. I'm super honored to be here. Like I said, I'm excited that you started this. I'm excited that I get to be the first guest. I've been good, though. Been busy. Teaching, working out. Everybody trying to get fit in 2020.
I feel like you in a little bit of everything. Fitness, ref, doing the professor, you're working at the bank.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm a jack of all trades. I like to stay busy, though. Like, I just feel like the busier I am, the more productive I am. And, like, my grandma told me, like, an idle mind is, like, the devil's playground.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I feel that.
I like to stay busy. So, I stay on the move. I still get my 8 hours of sleep, though.
Yeah, that's for sure. You do be in the bed by, like, 8
o'clock. I do. And people are like, how do you get all that stuff done? And you still be in the bed by 8. I'm like, listen here.
But you be up at, like, 5.
I do. 5 o'clock. I said, we maximize on every minute. Yeah. Jesus could be coming back any time now. I need to be ready. But I get my realm sleep. I get my 8 hours. But life is good.
That's good. Man, like, you know, when I first met you, it was so, like, I met you at the WSU, like, and the first day I felt like we went to lunch. The first day we even met each other, like, we went, you were like, hey, you want to go to lunch? I'm like, yeah, sure. I'm like, and I've never, like, had that quick of a connection with someone like that before. And especially with, like, another person that is, like, a stud, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's always this this stereotype, like, we're against each other and shit. And so, like, when I met you, like, it was just genuine, and we've been friends ever since.
We have been friends. Where did we go? I think it was Chick-fil-A.
Coincidence? Fucking Chick-fil-A.
I think it was Chick-fil-A. We're talking about black gay people. We went to Chick-fil-A, and I don't even eat meat like that.
Yeah.
I was just excited that you said yes.
When I was like, oh, someone that looked like me. Oh, we in the same program together? Like, of course I want to hang out.
Yeah.
For sure. Like,
yeah, and we had Arian in the bunch.
Yes. Just a genuine connection for sure.
And for those of you who don't know, Bria and I, we attended our master's program together at Wichita State University.
Yes.
That's where we met. We got a love for people. Love for the community
and
a love for Chick-fil-A, obviously.
Right. I don't care if they don't like me. I like them. You know, love wins.
But yeah, it was like a connection, and it was pretty dope.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've been rocking ever since, though.
Ever since
you put up with my bull crap most days.
Yeah.
Tired. You guys have to do.
But so like with your story of being a person of color living in this world, navigating.
Yeah.
How do you get by? Like, I get by seeing someone like you, and, like, we genuinely connect. So, and that doesn't happen often. But.
No. I think that a lot of it, and I know it's going to probably sound so cliche to say, and I hate to be that person. I really hate to be that person. But, like, I've always had this level of for sureness about me. You know, and I wouldn't even say, you know, let me not say for sureness. I've always not really given a crap about what people have to say. And I would have to attest that to my mom. Like, just being proud of, like, who you are and just, like, chin up, chest out, you know. But it's always good when you obviously meet community and you meet people. You meet people that look like you or sound like you. It makes the journey so much better. But even navigating it then versus navigating it now, it's two different things.
So, like you said, you've never cared, never given. So, like, what's your story of coming out, like, to your family and your friends and to the whole world? Like, where did we get this magnificent Mary Sims problem?
So let's start off with the whole basketball community, okay? Mm-hmm. So growing up, I played ball, and the stigma on basketball, obviously, even now today, is like every WNBA player, every basketball player is gay.
Yeah.
And that's obviously not the case. We've seen many women who play basketball who are married with children, but we've also seen many women who play basketball who are of the LGBTQ community. See, they keep on adding letters.
Right,
keep
right. LGBTQ like, plus ABC.
Like, that's a lot. I support, but like, y'all got to stop adding these letters now. So the basketball community itself, and I started playing ball when I was like 9.
Mm-hmm.
So it's already this culture of we're wearing sweats, we're wearing hoodies, you know, we're comfortable. You're around like your teammates all the time. You're really enmeshed in this feminine energy. And a lot of it is like, okay, you're an athlete, but then on the court, I've always was told like, you play like a boy, or like, you're so aggressive like a boy, like all these gender norms and all these gender characteristics. Like, why can't I just ball, you know?
Right, right.
And I think being around just the sport in general, also being around majority girls, I was always like, felt like, okay, that's a little different. That's my friend. she's also a basketball player, and she's also like at that age, like, you know, people are having crushes on boys, and I'm having crushes on girls, and I don't know how to feel, and I don't know what to say. And my family's my mom's a Christian woman, but she was not one of those Christian women that would shame me. I could probably talk to my mom about anything. Knowing what I know now, I thought I couldn't, but now I know that I could. It was terrifying. Yeah. Like, it was terrifying. Like, what do you mean? Like, I don't feel comfortable in dresses. I don't feel comfortable in the feminine clothes, which is so crazy now that I'm older. I'm more feminine now. I'm more feminine now.
Right.
Than I was when I was coming out, because I felt like I had to present masculine in order to come out to make people can be like, oh, she's really gay.
I have to ask a question. Did you come out as bisexual first?
No, I didn't.
Okay, you were just full. I'm a lesbian.
I was full blown. Like, no, because I didn't really fool with the whole, I mean, yes, I've had boyfriends, and if y'all watching this, y'all know who y'all are. I still got so much love for most of y'all, but it was still that exploratory phase, but there was always something that felt so uncomfortable within the dynamic of that, and so uncomfortable that I almost felt like I was not being true to who I was at a very young age. Like, I'm talking about when girls were starting having crushes on guys at 11, 12, 13, 14, like, I would play along because that's what, you know, my friends were doing, but it was definitely not something that was in line with who I was. And so I felt like I had to present more masculine, but my mom kept buying me girl clothes. And I would put them on, but like my demeanor and my character always presented more masculine, because I felt like nobody's going to believe me if I'm liking girls. And I'm like, oh my God, honey. You know, like, come on now.
Yeah,
get out of here.
Right, you have to fit that butch masculine like, role.
Yeah.
I feel that 100%. And I'm like, now recently, more than just recently, like, I've always been pretty feminine in different ways, right?
Yeah.
There's ways, like, we ain't gonna get into that.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's different ways to where, like, I am feminine in a way. And, like, I'm becoming okay with that. Like, I think growing up, I always hung around with, like, boys, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, I did have a group of girlfriends. But I always connected with the boys and stuff. So, I always felt like I had to match their energy.
Yeah.
But with, and like you said, you have changed growing up.
Yeah.
When did it change for you? Like, at what age were you okay? Because I've always dressed like a boy. Like, there's no, my mom, of course, sometimes made me dress like in a, for homecoming and hated it.
Yeah.
But I did it.
Yeah.
But in high school, not until like senior year is when I came out. So like, I even, I don't know, I wore a dress to my senior prom, everything. So. Yeah. Not until, like, after I got out is when I never wore a dress again. I ain't wore a dress since high school. That's the last time anybody see me in a dress. My friends like to make fun of me and pull up that picture. But you ain't. That's the last picture you're going to see me in. So when was it for you?
I mean, I feel like I came out to my best friend, Lay, before I came out to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And
what,
I think,
what age were you?
I want to say I was, like, eighth grade.
Eighth grade?
Yeah. I came out to my best friend, Lay, and I, like, at that time, I think she knew, but, like, she was my best friend, so I told her everything, and it was like, okay, so I came out eighth grade, so then I transitioned Because I had my first little girlfriend in eighth grade. Then I transitioned. Oh. I did.
So did your family know about this girlfriend?
So they did, because we all played ball. And so, like, they understood, like, something ain't right here.
Yeah.
And there was multiple, like, mom meetups, like trying to figure out what's going on with your daughter. What's going on with your daughter? And it was just, like, everybody was, like, really confused. But we knew what was up. Yeah. Lay knew what was up, you know? And then we transitioned to high school. And it was probably, I would probably say this was, like, the turning point of, like, my coming out story. I went to Northeast Magnet. And do you remember in, like, Mean Girls, they had, like, the burn book?
Yeah.
I had a book like that, but it was all of my lesbian secrets, and I would pass it around to this particular individual, and we would write these notes back and forth in this notebook.
Okay.
Like,
both of you guys were a part of the community?
Yes, yes. Both of you guys. So that was, like, who I was talking to. That was my lady. You know what
I mean?
Okay,
okay.
And one of the most popular boys in high school got a hold of that notebook and passed it around school.
Damn, and was your name in it?
Yeah, my name was in it. Her name was in it. And it was mortifying. And I think that was the first time in my life where I felt ridiculed, judged, and, like, exposed.
Outed, for sure.
Yeah. Because, like, everybody knew from 8th grade to 9th grade, like, hey, you know, Mary can hoop, yada, yada, yada. I think she's gay. You know?
I think she's gay.
I think she's a lesbian.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, my best friend at the time was like, And so she found out that the book was being passed around. And I remember we were at lunch. And I sat down at the table, and I couldn't find it. And then he walks up with it after, like, half of the high school had already read it. And I snatched it out of his hand. And at that point, I went into, like, what I would call, like, the shameful phase. Because I felt like my definition, my story was being passed around. Mm-hmm. And then with each person that got the story, they added words. They added words to my story. They added words to my sexuality. They added characters and memes and all this other things that made the story so negative to where my mom had to know what was going on. Like, she had to come into high school, and she, here's the book.
So did you go home and you were like, Mom, this is what's happening?
I got in trouble because I was so mad. And, like, I used to fight, okay? So I got so mad. So by the time she got the call from the principal brings her into the office, and she's reading the book to my mom. Like, this is what we found. This is what was going on. My mom's sitting there just like you. And, like, I'm talking about, it was horrible.
Oh my.
Like, quoting, like, all kind of Pretty Ricky lyrics, you know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, like, my
just
gosh.
Like, embarrassing. My mom's sitting there looking at me. I'm looking away because I don't want to make eye contact.
Yeah.
That was the turning point where I started to be a little bit more masculine, because I felt like I had to defend that. You know, I had to defend that. I had to be, I mean, the whole school knows at this point. My mom knows. The whole fucking administrative staff knows.
Yeah.
So not only am I angry about it, because of how it came out, not because of my family not being supportive or loving me, but because of the community in which they took my story from me.
For sure.
At that point in time, I became angry behind coming out. And I had to present masculine. I had to do these certain things. I was very angry. I was not happy about it, because I felt like so many whispers were stories that had been filtered through other individuals that was not my own. Mm-hmm. And that was what I was like, okay, cool, we're going to do this. I'm going to be masculine, I'm going to dress masculine, I'm going to walk out the house in girl clothes, but by the time I get to first hour, I got a full-on fit. You know what I mean?
So how was the conversation with you and your mom on the way home? Like, what was that?
I had to go to basketball practice. So there was, like, and by the time I got home from ball practice, she was already asleep. And she didn't, like, we didn't really discuss it. And then the next thing I knew, like, there was, like, a prayer circle, and not necessarily, like, what people would think, like, trying to pray the gay out of you, but just, like, if my daughter is confused, let's give her some guidance. Or what I know now, the prayer was, help me understand so I can better support her, because the world is not going to be as forgiving. The world is not going to be as understanding. And as a mom, I need to figure out how to be, because not everybody in this world is going to treat her like that. And so, by the time I got to her on Wednesday, it was varsity day on Friday, I'm like, hey, listen, we're not going to talk about it. She wants to talk about it, but there's not really much to talk about. Yeah. And my mom's thing was like, you can do anything and be anybody, but, like, you don't got to do the most behind it.
Right.
Like, if this is who you are, that does not make you disrespectful, doesn't make you manipulative, doesn't make you a fighter, doesn't make you any of these things. You can still be you.
Right.
But you can't allow other people to define you and how you're going to maneuver in your sexuality. Because it's not so much, oh, she's gay. It's almost like, look at the behavior behind this gay woman. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally get that. So you've never even, like, had your own true of just, besides with Lay, of just telling someone.
Yeah, no.
So it just got outed for you.
It just was, like, out there. And then by the time it was out there, by the time I tried to get ahead of it, it was, like, spreading like wildfire. And I don't know about anybody else, but I felt like I was, like, the first documented lesbian in Wichita. Like,
really?
Like, I honestly, like, the way the city acted behind, like, I don't know if it was because, like, you know, like, oh, I'm this ball player. I'm this great basketball player, but oh, she's gay and she's wilding out, you know? Yeah. Like, oh, she's wilding out because she's gay? Or can I just be wilding out because I'm a teenager, you know?
Yeah.
But everybody always concluded it to, oh, it's just because she's gay.
Yeah.
I'm like, no. Maybe it's because y'all got me fucked up. You know what I mean?
I feel that, yeah.
Like, so I never had that moment where you process coming out and you pick the people in your life that you're going to go to and practice on and say this speech before you get to the grandstand.
Yeah.
I never got a chance to do that.
Yeah.
The story was already out there.
Yeah.
And I was already just wild in general, and so I felt like I was, like, pushed out there.
Yeah. And you didn't go back into your show. You said, oh, you told my story, here it is.
Yeah, here this it is. Is and now, not only have you pissed me off, I'm dating your girlfriend, I'm dating everybody's girlfriend, because I'm mad about it. And it was not done gracefully. It wasn't. It was an absolute catastrophe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You said that your mom is pretty religious, and I know you're religious as well. Like, how has your faith played a part of you being out? I know, personally for me, I struggled with it a lot, like, being raised in the church and being told I'm going to hell, but then I had to leave the church and just, like, build that relationship with myself, with God, like, I don't care what none of y'all say.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This is me and God.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So what was it like for you?
I mean, I'm sure you've heard it all. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. You know, you hear all that stuff like that. And I think the really good thing about my family has always been, well, especially my mom and my grandmother before she passed, the really great thing about the God that they pray to and the God that we pray to and how I grew up was just like, God loves you. He's going to accept you. And it's not that maybe we're not judging the being gay. Maybe it's the behavior behind the decision. You know, it's the, you know, going out all the time or the lifestyle that I was choosing to live behind it for a long period of time. That's what the judgment might be passed on. And so rather my mom had her own beliefs or not, I'm her daughter and she loves me. Rather my grandmother, Southern Baptist, Mississippi, homegrown woman, had her beliefs or not, they never expressed that to me to put that fear in me. To say like, oh, my mom and my grandma told me I was going to go to hell because I was gay. I convicted myself for a while though. Once I got into the Bible and I started reading and you started, you know, some of that stuff can be kind of scary. Yeah. You know what I mean? Makes you want to just crawl into a shell. I'm like, Jesus, come back. Like, shoot, give me a man. Like, I don't know what you want me to do. And so they never put that on me. They never put that pressure on me. And I was in the church. We were all in church. We were raised in church. And it was never like you're in church, but if you're gay, you can't be in church. Like, my mom was like, get your gay ass up. We going to church, you know?
Yeah.
Type of thing. The relationship with God was absolutely my choice, and it was never forced or it was never feared. And it's still like that today. You know, I go to church every Sunday, and it's never like that today. And I know I'm not going to say everybody in the church accepts it, but like you said, like, I developed that relationship with God, and there's a lot more things I'm probably going to be judged for. And if gays being one of them, it's going to come after like the first 50, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So was there anyone in your family that didn't accept you, or everybody just accepted you?
I kind of have that personality where I don't really think I gave them a choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like, and you know me well enough to where it's just like, I didn't really give them a choice because like, as much as like, I love you I need you to love me back.
Yeah.
I cannot deal with you not loving me and accepting me back. And it's like all or nothing.
Yeah.
Like, you either got to love all of this, you got to accept all of this, or we just can't talk.
Yeah.
And we have such a close-knit family. My mom, my brothers, and my sister, my nieces and nephews, that we talked about everything. And so my immediate family, since they loved and accepted me so tough, so deep, that going out into the world naively, I expected everybody to do that. So I had that confidence that everybody did that. And whether they did or not, I think my family and my friends did a really good job, probably like 18 and later, of making sure that I didn't get wind of any of that.
That's good. You mentioned your niece and nephews. And like, personally for me, when I like came out, I didn't even tell my little cousins anything.
Yeah.
It kind of just like naturally happened. Yeah. Like, was that like for you? Yes! Or did... I always wondered if like my uncle had like a conversation with him and was like, look guys, she's gay. But it he never said anything to me. Oh, like, I don't know if like that's how it happened or not, but it's just like, I just brought a girl around. I said, this is my girlfriend. So, and that was that.
So the really funny thing about my sister has four kids. My brother has two kids. And then my late brother, Nick, he had one kid. I'm pretty sure that my sister never had the sit-down conversation. I can tell you right now that my sister's the kind of person where she's just like, I mean, look at her. You make your own conclusion. You know what I mean? Yeah. And my older brother is more of like a political one. Like, he might have had the conversation, but the boys are still young.
Yeah.
But they're really smart. So they're so smart to where they're just like, Aunt Mary dresses in boy clothes. Yeah. You know, like... And I have that conversation with them if they do ask. And I would have to be like, are you going to get married? When are you going to get married? I'm like, well, you know, here's the thing. Are you going to wear a white dress? Probably not. You know? So they're very inquisitive at their ages. I do have three older nieces and nephews, 18, 15, and 13. I mean, they've been knowing for since the dawn of time. So I never really had that conversation with them. But I've answered every little question to where in their brains, they're like, okay, yep, all right.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so this means gay to them, you know? Yeah. You know? Yeah. And like, I don't have kids, and so it helps that I'm the best aunt in the whole entire world.
Right, yeah.
And I happen to be gay.
Do you want kids in the future?
Like, absolutely not. And let me tell you why. I used to, for a short bit of time, honestly, but I have 7, 8 nieces and nephews, and I'm a very active aunt. When I have them all on a Saturday, I'm exhausted by the time 5 p.m. comes and when I can't do my own shit.
Yeah.
I don't have the capacity to think about like children, like in like an unselfish way. Like, I have the capacity to think about my nieces and nephews, but I don't really think I want kids. I just don't. But shout out to all the lesbian couples out there who have kids, who have children, who are raising families beautifully, because love wins no matter what. So shout out to you guys, all of the families out there, whether you're straight men, I mean, not straight men, but gay men, gay females, whatever the case may be. Families are built on love and respect and understanding no matter the gender. So shout out to y'all.
Yeah, I used to like want to like have a kid, actually even be the one to carry the child.
But I really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I have a dog. I got a dog. And just like the time that it takes with the dog and just like finding the babysitter. Everybody should get a dog first before they're like, oh, I want kids.
Yeah.
Because it made me rethink it. I'm still thinking, like, if I had a full-time nanny and here by my side, I would still be forth with that.
Right,
but doing it, like you said, by myself,
absolutely
I'm not with it.
Yeah, no, I can't, I had a couple of partners in the past that have talked about, like, children and stuff like that. I'm going to go ahead and head out. You know? Yes. Like, that's just not where I'm at. And I think that's a conversation. Like, the good thing, like, one of these things about being in relationships or marriages in the gay community is like, you absolutely have to plan for a child.
Yeah.
You know, especially if you both come into the relationship with no child, you absolutely have to plan for it versus like a heterosexual couple that sometimes stuff happens and we're pregnant and we got to get ready. But like sometimes being gay is like this superpower. Like we get to plan for stuff, you know,
get to decide.
We get to decide. And it's just like that decision is solely based on your relationship and where you got, what you guys want. But I don't want children.
Yeah. In a relationship, what's your dynamic? Because you aren't like the masculine type at all. And like, I love that. Because like being a part of the LGBTQ community or like the outside looking in, it's like you have to fit the male or the female role.
Yeah.
But that's not even the case. No. Like you just have to fit a role in a partnership.
Not in 2023. Definitely not.
Yeah. So like, what is your dynamic in the relationship and just
so I completely embrace my feminine side because it makes me female and I love the essence about it, and I love putting on makeup, I love getting my hair done, I love getting my nails done, but I also like being feminine but also dressing in this way where it's just like, this is how I'm comfortable, but this is how I feel. You know, and so a lot of times in the relationship, I'm typically like actually 100% of the time, they're girly. Like I don't do the whole like. I mean, shout out. I'm not judging anybody, but you know, I like women who are girly all the time. I just don't think I could ever be with another masculine presenting woman, but I also am okay with being feminine and then having that masculine personality. So I'm really sensitive.
You are.
I'm really sensitive. Like honestly, with if not all of my past relationships, really feminine, but also like so am I. So I don't know. I think when you're with a woman, like I'm with a woman, I like a woman likes a woman. So
yeah,
I embrace it so much, and I think that's what makes me. Like, I'm a lady.
Yeah.
Treat me as such type of thing.
I feel that 100%. Like, earlier, we were talking about, like, the dynamics of, like, relationships like ours.
Yeah.
Do you have, like, a lot of masculine friends?
Yeah, so, I do. Because I play Division I basketball, so dear gosh. I mean, if not, most of them are all masculine. And we still keep up. I got some older, you know, lesbians that are masculine presenting that have, you know, went from friends to mentors. Honestly, outside of, like, here in Wichita, I think it might be just you, if now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I have acquaintances, you know what I'm saying? But, like, I guess I'm just really picky when it comes to certain things like that. And, like, I don't care what anybody says. You are picky with your friends. Yeah. I do not give a shit what anybody says. Like, you are picky with them. And so I have a lot of masculine-presenting lesbians who are acquaintances and, like, associates. Some of my teammates that I still keep in touch with that I love dearly. Some of them are masculine-presenting lesbians and so much love, but they don't live here. So outside of, like, being in the city, really... Yeah, bro. I think it's just you. I think it's you're just
bro. I literally like I was saying the same thing. Like I'm trying to find friends. Like hopefully from this podcast, I need friends. I need friends that look like us. Okay, in Wichita, that are cool though. I'm not trying to steal your girl. Okay, but like I feel like that way. Like I said with you, it was just like so genuine in our relationship. We just clicked.
Yeah.
But it's so hard to find that here, and just like people of color in the community as well, like not even just like masculine, just people a part of the community. I'm trying to still find a circle of friends that are like that, like-minded. Mm-hmm. But
I feel like we had a good chunk of it in our master's program.
They weren't gay,
but they weren't. Gay.
Me, you, and Marco.
Hey, Marco.
Marco, you're gonna be here one day.
Yes, we gotta get Marco. We gotta get Marco in here. I guess that's really, now that you got me sitting over here thinking about, like, how many actual gay friends do I have? Like, I mean, I think I have a lot more gay guy friends than anything.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah. It's, and you know they're out here.
Oh, like, absolutely. But like,
so it's like, where are they at? Are they still hiding or what?
Maybe still trying to figure out how to come out. I don't know. I'm so busy that like the camp that I've built before this schedule, y'all just like stuck with me and I don't got time for nothing else. So yeah. Like, so nothing else at all. But that's wild to think about. I mean, I guess I haven't really thought about it because I've never really been presented with the question. So, yeah. Hey.
Right. You got two right here. We're so lucky. Yeah, I would love to just like, just because it's, like I said, being in El Dorado, just around like white people. And I love white people. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But it's just like,
you gritted your teeth when you said that.
I love white people. I really do. I do. I was raised with around them all, but I just like, that sounded so, I have a black friend.
Yeah.
But I need more people that identify with me, can connect with me, and understand my struggles.
Yeah.
Because like, even like the microaggressions that may come across with like the white people like in the LGBT community,
yeah,
we identify as being an LGBTQ, but you still throw microaggressions out. Like yeah. Earlier when we were laughing and you said the Matt was like talking about the gay community, mm-hmm. and then you said he was talking about the black community. I'm like, whoa, like, I don't know. I'm black first.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's how I identify.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely am black first. Actually, I really, I like to flip that sometimes. Like, I'm female first. Like, yeah. In my head, I'm female first. And I think that really how you present that is exactly the community that you're going to go after, mm-hmm. or the support that you're going to seek. Like, I love being black. I mm-hmm. really do. But I also love being a female. Yeah. I love being a black female. Then you throw a little spice on there that I'm gay. I might as well be fucking superhuman at this point.
Jeez. The adversity that has to go through with like the triple threat.
Yeah.
And it's funny. You say you female first, but I see that I am female. Mm-hmm. But if I walk into the room, these motherfuckers, sir, 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 even when I'm on the phone, sir, I'm like, do I have that manly of a voice? Like, jeez. Oh my God.
Try introducing yourself as Mary over the phone, and then you show up to the place of the people that you talk to, and they're like, looking for Mary, and I'm like, right here, and then they're like, you're Mary, and I'm like, yeah, and they're like, nice to meet you. What do you thought? What did I look like? Like, I don't know, Andrea? Like, what do you mean? A Nikki? A Nikki? Like, get out of here. But yeah, I think it's how you present that and the steps in which you take to present yourself to the world. There's layers to that. Like, mm-hmm. I am female. I'm a black female. I am a female who is black, who is a lesbian. However you want to flip it, but it's also the world's going to see whatever they're going to want to see.
Yeah.
They might see me as female first. They might see me as masculine presenting first. They might see me as black first. I think at this point in 2023, I get hit on by more guys than anything. That's a whole different podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh gosh. So like saying that the black female who identifies as lesbian.
Yeah.
What is your biggest challenge, adversity?
Within that realm?
Mm-hmm.
That's a tough question. Within that realm, I think it's figuring out which segment is going to get all the feelings. Because you have this heavy heart for the black community and like all we've been through as a community over the for decades, mm-hmm. you know, for decades. Then you have this heavy heart for the gay community and the trans movement and all the stuff that's happened with that. And your heart is heavy for that. And then you have the whole woman side of things where you are like feeling for women oppression, gay oppression, black oppression. So I think it's just like trying to make sure my emotions are divided equally in that,
mm-hmm.
so that one part of me is not getting left out or feeling like I'm folding on one part of me or feeling like I'm not acknowledging one part of me. Like, I can't show up to the black movements and not show up to the LGBTQ movements.
Yeah.
I can't show up to those movements and not go support women's rights movements. You know what I mean? Like, that's a struggle in itself.
Yeah.
And figuring out which part of me is going to get all that energy. because to me, it all makes me, but to the world, they're all separate.
Yeah.
They're all separate. And so it's like, that's tough. That's a very tough thing to navigate. And then also sometimes wanting all of that to be erased and then just show it for me.
Yeah.
You know, like that's hard.
It is very hard.
That's hard. That is a hard pill to swallow. That is a hard thing to process, because when we get on the news, it's something about us, mm-hmm. a woman being black or being gay, something, mm-hmm. something is being oppressed. But maybe a man can get on there, a straight man can get on there, and he might not be affected by any of it, or a straight woman might not be affected by any of it, you know, but that's a hard thing to navigate. It's like, I don't want to fold on the gay community, don't want to fold on the black community, but not everybody in the black community accepts the gay community, and not everybody in the black community, you know, like, ah, God, like, oh my God.
Yeah.
But sometimes, like, fuck it all, I'm just trying to show up for me.
Right, yeah.
That's hard. Yeah.
What is one thing that you would tell, like, someone who may be struggling in coming out or being their authentic self?
God, you would give me that question right now. God, that's tough.
For you, you just got outed and everything. Yeah. So it's like,
I would honestly say that you are the author of your own story. You are the author. You are the editor. You are the publisher. And at the end of the day, you have the ability to create whatever outcome you want, despite people putting their own paragraphs or sentences. So I would say, create the life and the story that you want, and then believe not only in what you're going after, but believe in yourself enough that that story is worth telling. And share it with people who are going to support it.
For that.
Yeah.
And Mary, I just want to thank you, man.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah.
This is my Friday evening. I've been looking forward to it for like a year. Like I said, I'm so honored. I'm so happy to be here. I'm so happy to kick off your first episode. I think it's going to like just freaking project forward. And I'm happy about it.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope someone on here can see your story and just maybe identify a couple things that maybe they're going through in their life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, being that triple threat out here, it's a tough world out here for us. So I just appreciate you being on here and being vulnerable and opening up. So absolutely. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
You guys, I'm looking for more guests. If you are a person of color in the LGBTQ community, please let me know. Slide in the DMs. Thank you, Mary, so much, y'all. We're going to get out of here. Family, friends, strangers, love. Be nice.
Look at that. Yeah.